October 21st, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 57.
About to be an ass whooping on this block.
Is that right?
That's right.
That is right. Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strub, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry, episode 57 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate it. What is this show? Hey, you've just decided to listen. You're like, what is this? Okay, I'll hit play and see what this is. Hey, we're a show, a podcast, a radio show, if you will, Steven. A netcast, as Leo Laporte would want us to say.
Netcast?
We talk TV, film, pop culture, things that we love. That is Steven, the pop culture zealot. He joins us every week, and we talk pop culture, right?
You betcha.
Talk all of our favorite shows. Vanessa, our Mulberry newswoman. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm spectacular. How are you?
I'm good, but I am kind of sad. It appears that
everyone
Mulberry Bill is ill. He's not feeling well, and
he was bitten.
He's not up to doing the show. He's not feeling well.
He's zombie bite.
Yeah, yep, zombie bite.
He's in a straitjacket right now. They've got him locked up. He's under observation. Hopefully, he will be feeling better later. Wishes are with Bill.
Or we'll have to put a bullet in his head.
Get well soon,
Bill. No, I really hope Bill feels better. He's really upset because
Billy.
He really wanted to talk Heroes and BSG this week, Smallville. It really kills him when he doesn't get to do the show. So.
And talk about being a historian of ass.
Don't worry, buddy. Come back next week. Hope you feel better, and we'll talk more Heroes. Talk more Smallville. BSG, hey, they're weekly shows. We got it next week, too, baby. You know what I'm saying?
It's going on.
That's right. But unfortunately, he didn't get to be here for us to talk about my favorite subject, and that's Kevin Federline.
K-Fed is the man.
Mrs. Britney Spears. Apparently, he decided, hey, I'm going to go on WWE, which stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. Is
that
what it is?
Yes.
And John Cena was on there. I don't know what the hell transpired. For some reason, K-Fed's there and John Cena's there. Now, here's the deal. Apparently, John Cena decides to diss K-Fed, and people don't like that. But not only that, he decides to pick him up over
his head
and body slam him. People do care, as you'll hear on this clip. Let's check it out.
The album's called Playing With Fire. Hold on. I got a better line. Let's call it The World's Biggest Scumbag.
Oh, he's picked up K-Fed.
You cannot do this. That's Kevin Federline, Britney Spears on fire.
Oh.
And apparently his pelvis was shattered. He'll no longer walk for the rest of his life.
He won't be able to dance in concert anymore.
Yeah, it's very sad. Now, I'm curious of how the Marine is doing at the box office. Is it even registered or...
It is. I just looked up reviews. Let me see how it's doing as far as... It's got a 4.1 out of 10, which I guess is pretty bad. But let me see
about
how
what
it's
I
doing.
Expect.
It is number 6 at the box office right now, and it has made $7,138,774.
And Vince McMahon got half of it.
Yeah. And you know what? Any day of the week, I'd rather see Death Before Dishonor with Fred Dreyer over this crap. That's all I'm saying. I love the Fred Dreyer.
Well, it says that John Cena plays John Triton, established
cool
early.
Name.
I know.
Triton.
Early in the movie, as the U.S. soldier, the only U.S. soldier to ever feel depressed about leaving Iraq. It's not even by choice. He is discharged for disobeying a direct order, busting up some Al Qaeda operatives.
You don't play by the rules, John Cena. You're out of here. Damn you! You obey my orders, Mister.
They're talking about how he looks like a prehistoric version of Matt Damon.
He's got like that Cro-Magnon forehead. Nice. Like I said, if you want to rent a good movie, Death Before Dishonor, Fred Dreyer. Yes!
Hunter,
and you know what? Fred Dreyer, he didn't play by the rules either. We have a email, guys. I know I talked about before how I'll read email at the end of the show, but this is better at the beginning of the show because of the things she tells us. It's from Marie Go, I believe her last name. She's from the Philippines, and she's a huge fan of Veronica Mars. She would like us to talk more Veronica Mars on the show. She wants us to go as much in-depth with Veronica Mars as we do in Smallville. But one thing she told me, and this threw me for a loop, you guys. She said she wanted to correct me on a bit of information.
Uh-oh.
Remember I keep calling Jimmy Olsen Iceman on Smallville? Played by Aaron Ashmore? I'm actually wrong about that. It's not the guy who played Iceman at all. And I was like, huh? Iceman is played by Sean Ashmore, his identical twin brother.
Wow.
I had no freaking clue. So, one brother's Iceman, the other brother's Jimmy Olsen. So, that's crazy, isn't it? I was like, huh? So, thanks for letting us know that.
They look alike. So.
Yeah, it's like, it's an honest mistake. They look like the same person.
But thanks, Marie.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. Send us more email, guys, at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a voicemail, too, at 1206-202-3491. We'll play your voicemail on the air. So what do you say, guys? Let's get into some entertainment, our favorite thing.
Let's do it.
I'm going to play some Pod Dangerous music before we go there. This is dedicated to our sick friend, Bill. Let's check it out.
The world's biggest scumbag.
Hey, what do you mean there, mister? Steven and I did go see a movie this weekend, and we went to see The Prestige with Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, two of the hunkiest actors working today.
Hell yeah.
It also had Scarlett Johansson.
Perfect body on her.
And it also has Michael Caine. I'm Michael Caine. We talked about it last week, and we decided to go see it this week, and I think it's a solid thriller.
It's slow going in the beginning.
Yeah, it is. But you
really have to pay attention.
I would say you're rewarded at the end of the film.
And it still leaves you with some questions in the end. Because we did debate this after...
Steven and I were debating the film, and it came to blows.
Yes.
So it was very
throwdown.
Yeah, we had a throwdown, and it was very unfortunate. But anyway...
But I won, so...
I don't think so, sir. What are you talking about?
It was even. The end of the Rocky when we both...
Yeah, we both Apollo Creed, Rocky. We both uppercut each other at the same time. Woke up the next day. Our wallets were gone. So if you have any... Can you give us an update on our wallets or credit card information? Just please give us a call.
Last seen in front of the Mulberry Cineplex.
Yes. And our car was gone, too, so...
Damn it.
No one wants to hear our long, elaborate discussions on The Prestige. Do you recommend it, Steven?
The way, if we had to discuss it, we would give too much away.
Right.
Because, I mean, the
just do you recommend the film?
I would say it's... Yes, I would recommend it. It's a
scale of 1 to 10.
I hate that kind of thing. I'm just going to say, yes, go see it. I'm not going to give
say
a
go
number
see
and
it.
Grade.
Yeah, it's... above average.
And
it's not a solid 10.
I'll say this, that I would like to own it on DVD, so therefore, this is the way I grade films. Either I like it, there's films like Hollywoodland I really liked, I don't want to own it on DVD. And in fact, I don't care if I ever see it again. But there's films that I see, and I'm like, damn, I want to see that again.
Saying I'm so lazy, I don't go see them at the movies, and I buy them on DVD.
So I'm going to say...
I have everything on DVD.
The Prestige, I liked it enough where I'll buy it on DVD. It's a great movie.
Because I know you're going to want to rewatch it and try and see the parts that we discussed.
That's one thing, Vanessa. There's a lot of secrets.
It's the misdirection and
all
that
reveals
stuff.
In the film. So it's one of those where you'll be talking about it afterwards.
Yeah, it's
Some of the reveals are predictable, but it doesn't ruin the film because other reveals aren't.
Right.
So we'll leave it at that. Go see The Prestige. I just wanted to add that I hope Bill feels better and dedicate this piece of music to him. Let's check out what's on our TiVo.
The world's biggest scumbag.
What the hell does that mean, Foggy? You want me to kick your ass? All right, guys. This week on America's Top Model, they decided models don't just have to pose and all that stuff. They also sometimes
they
do interviews for E.T. Entertainment Tonight.
True.
This week, they had a chick interview Janice Dickinson for Entertainment Tonight.
Oh,
and just listen how she gets real nervous, stumbles over her words, and has no idea what to say. Check it out.
Hi, Carrie D. It's Mark. Know your questions. You're working for E.T. tonight, sweetheart. Make us proud.
Hi, Janice. I just wanted to know what makes Janice Dickinson Janice Dickinson. What makes you so, you know, over... I can't think of the word right now, but just...
I'm trying to help you with sign language.
What makes you you? What makes you Janice? Over... pungent?
Over pungent?
Smelly?
Over pungent. It's a smell. It's a strong smell.
Wow. Really in
in-depth interview.
It's a great interview. You're
very much better.
You're very pungent.
If you stood too long, your perfume would leave a puddle. Oh, you're very
it's
pungent.
It's a strong smell.
No, guys, it gets better because on The Bachelor Rome, one thing you guys may not realize on shows like this is when you get cut... When The Bachelor doesn't select you, sometimes feelings get hurt, all right? Sometimes...
My feelings.
Sometimes you think you didn't... He didn't really get to know you that well before he cut the ties and you don't
get
to be on the
show. They only went on one date.
But let's go ahead and check this out because this lady, her feelings are really hurt because The Bachelor, he just couldn't handle her strong personality. Let's check it out.
Yeah,
you would feel the same way. You probably had people judging you, and it's just so not fair.
No, and you
but
told
I have no
me
idea
you
who I'm
second
getting.
Chances, and you didn't give me a second.
Erica, my problem is that I think you're too quick to judge.
And I told you that I was, and I want to change that about myself.
Well, again, I appreciate you coming here, and it was a pleasure meeting you.
I'm sorry that you made a really bad mistake.
To my disadvantage, every guy I've ever met has judged me because I'm pretty and I'm smart and I come from a privileged background, and I thought maybe if I met someone that, like, had those same qualities, they wouldn't judge me, but it's not true.
Oh, poor thing. Now, there's also a show called Flavor of Love with Flava Flav, where he has some hoes.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you guys heard of this?
Yes.
The similar thing happens to Flava when he cuts the chicks. Let's check and see the difference between the clean cut Bachelor Rome and Flava Flav.
What I'm saying.
How am I going to...
It's all right, just don't touch me.
You never touch me again.
That's all right, you brought me back to open up the same
damn. When I let you in my life, when you telling me you want to take charge and you want to take over, I do what you say.
You
get out of here.
So what?
Get the out of here with that New York.
I love them. Love them. I do love them dearly.
I hate them, though. I do.
That's so a love-hate relationship.
It's pretty much the same show, isn't it?
It's great. Do you really want to date Flavor Flav?
Yes, why not? He's got a great assortment of devices.
You saw his first wife with, what, six children with her or something? And
I don't know. It's all about being on VH1.
That's awesome.
But that's not the only show on VH1, Steven. There's also Ice-T's Rap School, baby.
Awesome.
Oh,
bring
yeah.
it on.
Yeah. Let's check out a clip of Ice-T's Rap School.
Does anybody know where hip-hop started, Sam?
New York.
That's a very good answer. It actually started in the South Bronx. What we're going to do is we're going to go to...
Oh, no.
Bronx River Projects, the home of hip hop.
Ghetto, and I'm gonna get shot and murdered, raped. I don't. No. Please, I really don't want
to
go.
Sophia, there's no way anything's gonna happen to you because you're gonna be with Ice-T.
Wow, she bought into the stereotype, didn't she? I'm gonna get shot, murdered, and raped. Yeah, not while VH1 cameras are on you, honey. Don't worry.
Believe me, there's gonna be a police escort around. Yeah.
I would always be safe if I hung out with Ice-T, right?
Because you're going to be with Ice-T.
Now, Vanessa, you watch this show called Wife Swap, do you
yes.
not? Wives don't always get along with the children. Sometimes they get really pissed off, and they can't handle it. They're like, why are my stupid parents on this stupid show? I just want to live my life. Why do I have to live with this crazy lady?
And in this case, the dad told the daughter, he bribes her, says $5,000 of this money is yours if you do this. Let's check it out. It's pretty hilarious.
Kayla and Shay, your mom, your dad, and your grandma give you everything. But what have you given them? This week, we're going to make arts and crafts using some of your designer clothes.
No.
All right, you all right?
I'll be right back.
Just like way too much. I'm not wearing the overalls to a freaking dance.
I'll make a deal. $5,000
on money. No, she's going to have a dead guy in camera.
Meet Stu.
What a cute buddy.
He'll be your feast for Friday night's dinner.
Oh.
But I'm not going to eat Stu.
They find these whack jobs on purpose, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the part where they pull the bunny out, and it's like, we're going to kill the bunny. This is dinner. So the father goes in there and grabs a knife and sticks it. He goes, okay, you want to kill him? You kill him right now in front of us. The husband called the bluff, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, they have no clue what to do. Well, you got to clean the cage then if you want to keep the bunny.
Such a bad show.
It's like, wow.
And yet Vanessa catches it every week.
It's one of those shows that when you watch it, it really helps you to solidify the fact that your family is not as bad as you think it is. Because especially like this one where the woman who is very pampered and, you know, all these women talk about that's what they want, to be taken care of. But then you look at it, and I would never want to live that life.
You see what kind of person it turns you into.
Yes, she's so shallow and not very articulate. And
how would they get away with the other mom? How does she get away with cutting up the other kids' clothes, you know, for this art project? It's like,
I don't know. Probably because they could easily go buy more.
Well, it doesn't even matter that. That's
overstepping the line.
Yeah, you're right. It's going too far. It's like,
yeah.
The daughter wasn't being a brat. I would get pissed. It's like, we're going to cut up all your clothes and make some craft project. I'd be like, no, you're not. And that doesn't mean I'm being difficult. No, you're not.
Like, guess what? You try and step in my room, I will stab you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
I will stab you like you're trying to stab my bunny.
Yeah. Now, guys, did you check out Heroes this week?
Of course.
Did you check out our buddy Hero, Nikki, Nathan, Peter, Mohinder, Claire? I got all their names down, I think. Did I miss anybody? Might have missed somebody. But
Hero's buddy.
Before, I just called him, okay, Ali Larder, the Japanese guy, Peter, that's a pretty easy name, but I think I got it down. Did you like this stuff? They're in Vegas.
Yeah.
And they're there because the comic book told them to. They don't know quite what they're there to do they?
No.
But all they know is they need to warn that artist. And I love, they pointed out what we thought was kind of silly last week, where Hero kept calling the guy speaking Japanese, but he didn't understand him. And his friend goes, I speak English. And he tells him, and he's trying to teach him English. I love that his friend realizes, hey, we can use your power to win some money. And
right.
That was a good scene where they're winning more and more money.
Because that could be our thing.
And they get more brazen where they're not just, now they're like switching cards and hands. I love that where the guy looks, he's got three aces, and all of a sudden he doesn't. It's like, could you make it more obvious? But I love those characters. And I love when they're coming out of the casino and the guys approach him and he's like, my friend has huge power! And the guy goes,
like when they're coming down after shopping, looking
like... Oh, yeah, the Rain Man.
Yeah, the Rain Man movie.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Now, also, we see what happened with Nikki, where this Asian lady who tells her, this politician's coming. You know what we need you to do. You do it, and you're free and clear, right?
Right.
So she's like, okay, basically she's got to sleep with this politician guy.
You think they're going to blackmail him or whatever, yeah.
And she meets the guy, and let's just say right now, Nathan is a slime ball because he's meets her, he's married and has kids, and at the same time, he still wants to sleep with her. So
yeah.
So he is a slime ball politician.
Right.
Yeah.
And
like most.
She's got her poor kid at home, apparently knows what she's been doing in the garage.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's just acting in there, mommy. And it's like, how the hell do you know about this? I'm guessing it's probably some kid at school saw her online or something.
Or maybe he has some sort of power.
Yeah, do you think that?
It's possible.
It's possible he does?
Yeah. Because
they haven't really showed any children with powers yet, except for Claire, and she's, what, like 16 or something?
She's
17?
A senior.
Is she? She's probably 16 or
17. 16, 17, yeah, probably.
Okay, so she goes and meets Nathan Petrelli. And they're having a good time. But, you know, she decides, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And they have a nice talk about different things, and he even mentions flying, and she decides to leave, but she gets roughed up in the elevator by this guy threatening her and her son. And all of a sudden, what I think what we're calling her is Dark Nikki, the other half of Nikki. Do you guys think she has super strength? Because she seemed to overpower the guy pretty easily.
I think so. She probably does.
And I love that she stands her heel on his temple and says, I'll push my heel through your head. She says, never threaten our son again. Very interesting. What is her power? What's going on? And another thing, cut to Pete, who slept with the black chick. And her name I don't have down yet. Dang it! Need to keep some notes, man. But she's woken up in bed with the guy. And she's kind of, she doesn't know what to think. She still loves the artist guy.
Yes.
And he's trying to figure out his power. And I missed this at the beginning of the show. I forgot about this. But Mohinder goes to visit Nathan Petrelli to warn him that he's in danger. Because remember, he found his picture up on Siler's little map. And he thinks he's going to be a victim soon. When Peter finds out about this, he goes to visit Mohinder and his short-haired girlfriend. And he tells him that he has powers. He can fly, but they went away. And he thought he could read the future, but he can't do that anymore. So he's like, so what the hell?
So you don't have powers. And but it only comes out when he's scared or something.
No, I figured out what his powers are when he said, I seem to have my powers when I'm around other people. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. I realized what his power is. His power is that he has whatever powers of people he's around.
Right.
If he's around Claire.
He's a siphon.
Yeah. If he's around Claire, then he can't be hurt either. If he's around Hiro, he probably has his power. It's like if he's around Matt Parkman, the cop, he could read minds. And poor Matt Parkman, the horn-rimmed glasses guy, got him. And the mysterious black man is doing something to him. I don't know, but it's like the closer he comes to him, it like hurts his head or something.
I think that's the one taking the brains. Whether that's Siler is the one taking the brains or not, though.
Do you think the black guy's taking brains? What do you think, Vanessa?
I think maybe he's able to block their abilities, any of theirs.
I was thinking, too.
Well, he says, do what you need to do as he... As he walks out, you know.
Doesn't it seem like
or do what you
the
do.
The horn-rimmed glasses guy gets around really fast, too.
So he kind of has the same kind of ability as Hero.
Because he's right back home in time when Claire got home. Because she wakes up in the morgue. The lady pulled the thing out of her head, and she's got her chest open. She realizes she's being autopsied. She makes it home just in time for her dad. And what was the scene with the mom? We got waffles ready! The waffles are ready! She'll tell your sister the waffles are ready. His mom said the waffles are ready. Waffles are ready. It's like, all right with the freaking waffles, lady.
Maybe they're in cahoots with Aunt Jemima. I guess. Trying to sell some waffles.
It's a Eggo. Sponsored by Eggo Waffles. Waffles are ready. But it's obvious her mom's a freaking fruitcake because she does show dogs for a living. But
that's her power. She can show dogs.
And I love this. They showed this girl last week at the bonfire looking at Claire kind of weird. And I was like, what's that all about? But come to figure out that jock quarterback dude, he's date raped her as well as many other girls is what
they
figure out.
Do you think that did he rape her after he killed her?
See, I don't know. When they said she was naked in the river, I thought that was puzzling.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird, man. I think he was. Do you guys, when he said, man, I was drunk, I don't remember anything, do you guys believe that at all?
No. Not at all. He knows exactly what happened. And he's like kinda...
That's what I was like, did he rape her? And I'm really, like, Veronica Mars and all these shows, I'm getting really, it's really unsettling, all these rape storylines.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, in Ice-T's rap school.
And I'm going to get shot and murdered, raped.
So, hey, come on, just calm down. Claire, she gets back at this guy. I know this happens at the end of the show, but let's go ahead and check it out. She decides she's going to deal with this rapist quarterback, and let's see how she does it.
You want it as bad as I did. Stop the car.
Did I want it as bad as Lori Trammell?
Lori Trammell is a slut.
Is that what you're going to say about me?
I already do.
You're just going to keep at it, aren't you?
You let it go, Claire. There's nothing you can do about it.
I can do this.
Nice.
I could cripple you just like this quarterback in Friday Night Lights.
Now, did you guys think for a second after you watched that, we're like, that's not Hero behavior. She shouldn't have done that. Did you guys think that for a minute?
Yeah, but I understand why, because he has no remorse, and he's going to keep doing it over and over again.
Because I'm talking about, like, message boards and stuff. People are like, a hero doesn't behave like that. But I also
think... She's a kid!
But guess what? She's...
She's a teenager.
Yeah.
She woke up. She'd been autopsied. She'd been date raped. She's got a lot of...
baggage.
Yeah, she's got a lot of things she's dealing with here. Who knows? I don't think the guy's dead.
I mean, it's like if something had happened to you,
all people,
and you have these powers, what would you do?
But that's another thing. Right. A show
it's a revenge thing. It's not. Right. It's not a hero. It has nothing to do with being a hero at this point.
But also on something like this is people. It's boring if a person is just themselves from the beginning of the show. People need to grow. They need to make mistakes and learn from mistakes and stuff as they go on. And I think it's very interesting how she'll deal with this after this. And the same thing with Hero. He's learning that first he wants to be a superhero. Then his friends kind of show him, hey, you don't have to do all that. You could also manipulate things for our gain, like all this money. And that it's kind of showing how that will kind of screw things up also. That's what I like about the show is each of the different characters are going through their own journey,
right.
You know, and eventually... Yeah. And they do cross paths. When Peter meets up with Mohinder, and then they go to the psychic guy's house, the artist, he's not answering the door because he's just done some dope. And he's apparently seeing Claire being stalked by this shadow. And did you guys like that where they show his eyes and they're kind of white and glazed over like he's in a trance? And this was the first episode where they didn't mention Siler like the whole episode, did they?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think they did.
On the way home, obviously Mohinder doesn't believe Peter at all. And they're riding home and all of a sudden everything freezes. It's very scary what's going on. Is Siler coming after him? What's going on? Did you guys love this?
Oh yeah, they're on the subway.
Yeah, and it's dark and Peter's like trying to get out of the subway.
He's like the only one moving.
He doesn't know what the hell's going on. And all of a sudden you hear footsteps come down and it's a mysterious figure and it's Hero. And he's got a samurai sword. He's got a cool Tony Almeida soul patch from 24. I love that. He's like, Peter, I didn't recognize you without your scar. What was that about? Is he disfigured? He must be something.
Yeah.
And he says, I have a message for you. And then the show ends. And I was like, awesome ending. I think literally what I said is, whoa, awesome. I like that. That was really cool.
Yeah, I'm from the future.
But also one thing we didn't mention is after Nikki goes back and she sleeps with Nathan, Dark Nikki does. You see the little symbol on her shoulder blade?
Right.
That weird helix symbol, whatever it is. Nikki's kind of screwing around with Nathan. You see it on her shoulder blade, but they made a point to show her shoulder blade when they're sleeping in bed and it's gone. So it's like she's back to Nikki or something. And all of a sudden the horn-rimmed dude and the mysterious black man are there and he's like, just take the one. And they take him. So next week it looks like we got some flying action going on, something like that. And this show's really holding me. And one thing that kind of stinks about our show is that we do the show on Saturday. And last Monday was Heroes. And our show comes out Tuesday, and the new episode has already come out. So we're talking about last week's episode when the new episode has just been watched. So I know that's kind of screwy, but just bear with us.
Well, it's okay. I mean,
it would have sucked if you hadn't seen it yet.
I mean, what if we said something that they hadn't paid attention to?
Like Hero on the train? Like that would be a spoiler, but by now someone had to have seen it.
Or the thing on Nikki's shoulder, you know. Yeah. If they hadn't noticed it, it had disappeared.
I hadn't noticed that.
Heroes, we'll check back with it next week. Now let's talk Smallville, Steven.
I love
the Smallville. And I don't know if you know this, Vanessa, but Green Arrow is on the show this year.
Awesome. I keep forgetting to watch it. I got to see this guy's acting.
Green Arrow is awesome, okay? Now, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thanks, Green Arrow.
The show starts out with like a benefit because Martha Kent, she's running for the Senate, right? And she's hanging out with... Lionel Luthor, and apparently he's given her this expensive necklace to wear. Green Arrow, who is actually Oliver Queen, he brings along Lois Lane, and she promptly embarrasses him around the rich clientele. And all of a sudden, the lights go out, and something happens. Let's check it out. This is very shocking. What happens here is Green Arrow shows up, snatches the necklace, runs away. Lois runs after him, and let's check out what happens.
And future U.S. Senator
Martha Kent.
Woohoo! Thank you very much.
Whoa! the hell was that?
Give me the necklace.
You forgot to say please.
Sweet sound effects. What? It sounded like some guy just playing on one of those keyboards that has sound effects.
Yes.
But that was pretty awesome. I love this one. This is my favorite. Awesome. But what the hell was this sound?
Roller coaster?
I don't know. But anyway, so now Lois is obsessed. Who is this Green Arrow bandit, as she calls it, who stole the necklace?
She stole his necklace.
Yeah, a ring. And she promptly goes to Chloe because where she works, they don't have fancy computers like Chloe where you can find out anything you need to know in the entire world.
Her Macintosh is connected.
She can find out anything on her computer. And she's still being really kind of rude to Lois about her reporter skills. And I just think that's condescending. So, Chloe, you need to stop that.
She's got poor reporting skills at this point.
Yes. Clark gets involved because his mom's been embarrassed in public and she's really scared. She's kind of rattled, right? And Lionel Luthor points out that, hey, have you noticed that all of these rich people's possessions, jewelries, vases, statues, have been stolen except for this one last one hasn't been taken yet? So he's like, ding, I know what I need to do. And cut to the high-tech Green Arrow. And those aren't just sunglasses he has on Steven. Those are high-tech, like, computerized binocular scopes where it's like... And he's got, like, this super high-tech, like, morphing bow. Vanessa, it's not just a bow, but it turns into, like...
It's a bow that turns into everything.
It's like grappling hook, and he shoots an arrow across a building.
I like when he's... Well, when he pulls the arrow back, it shoots an arrow back behind him and sticks into the wall, and then the arrow takes off, and it's got the rope in it.
And he doesn't even have to look behind him, man. It's awesome.
It sticks. Then his bow turns into the little thing with wheels.
You get the pulley.
Over the zip line.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He's prepared.
So he goes there to steal this expensive object or whatever.
It was sold to a museum, I guess, or whatever.
Right. Clark's there to thwart him.
Well, I love his prism arrow that he uses to deflect the lasers.
And whenever he shoots an arrow, they do bullet time of the arrow traveling through the air. Like, it's really awesome. And that's when I was surprised. This sound right here, that's like really low key. Because usually it's like, ting. You know, it's flying through the air and everything. So he immediately...
That's one of the quick shots.
Yeah. He immediately figures out that Clark has powers because he kicks his ass. He shoots an arrow over the shoulder and hits a guard. And, you know, Clark, he's all, you know, oh, I got to save the guard or whatever. Now, there's a whole, like, little subplot here developing with
Lana.
Lex and Lana, where...
He's testing her.
Remember that... that object that Zod had, the spinning disc that had a Zod virus. He's got the broken piece, and he has this doctor studying it. And Lana's very concerned about this. She doesn't know what to do. Lex wants to test her. He says, go to my dad. One of my favorite scenes, Steven, is she goes to this doctor after she talks to Lionel and says, you know, discusses with him about it. She goes to the doctor, and she's like, it would be interesting if something were to happen to your family and your kids, and how would they pay for the expense of school? You know, she's like acting like Lex all of a sudden. What's that all about? And it's so bad with her doing it. But she's totally got Lex's back, am I right?
Yes.
So anyway, back to the good storyline, and that's with Green Arrow. Oliver Queen, he's a great guy, am I right? Vanessa, you thought Green Arrow was a criminal all this time, right? No. He's stealing rich objects...
that have been stolen.
...by rich people. They pay somebody, like, some jewel thief or something steals it, and then they sell it to the highest bidder. So these aren't really their things. What he does, and this is great, when Clark decides to do some investigating about him, because remember, Chloe goes, on the ring that Lois found, there's a little symbol on it.
Inscription on the inside.
Chloe goes to her computer. She takes a digital picture, and she turns out it's like the symbol, like a family crest. And Clark remembers being at Green Arrow's house, and he saw this crest, and it has three green arrows on the crest. It's, like, so obvious. And so he's like, oh, I think I know what this is about. Great detective work, Clark. And he goes there investigating. He opens this drawer, and it's like, Green Arrow has collected all of these newspaper clippings.
Yeah, some reporter Lois Lane is, too.
Yeah, she's like, you were just in. Nobody opens the clock. Green Arrow, it looks like he has OCD or something, because he collects every newspaper clipping of every good deed he's done. Like, he saved these, he used money and donated it and gave this kids an orphanage. But here's the thing. Since Lois keeps reporting on this mysterious Green Arrow, these bad guys decide she must know who Green Arrow is. Let's kidnap her. And there's this great scene where they're drowning her. And I don't know anything. And they keep drowning her. And it turns out to be Lionel's bodyguard or security guy. Because
she made fun of them.
Yeah, you made us look bad on the press. We'll show you. And he's like, kill her. The guy pulls out a gun, Steve, and he's just about to kill her. And he pulls the trigger, Vanessa. Is this it for Lois? She's going to be killed. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Just then, they show in slow motion bullet time as the bullet's traveling towards Lois. An arrow hits the bullet in midair, knocking it off the head. Awesome!
Oh, fanboy's wet dream.
Nerdgasm! So Green Arrow kicks all their asses, and he saves Lois. It's a great scene. Pulls her up on the little pulley thing, and just like Batman has one of those too. He's like, are you okay, miss? He speaks with his deep voice. And she gets his arrow, his crossbow, and she's like, who are you?
She's about to pull
We're
going to
see who you are without
off.
The sunglasses in that hood. Just then,
yeah,
there's all these...
Yeah, look here, Unabomber.
Yeah. Just then, there's all this... just all this thing crap happening. And you see across the way, it's Clark shooting eye bolts across the way as a distraction so he can get away. Really awesome.
It sounds like
And so he confronts Green Arrow. He's like, let's call it even.
Look here,
you know who
Mr.
I am.
Queen. Oliver Queen.
But there's this great, you know, let's just cut to the end. This is a great episode.
Queen returns the diamond necklace he stole from Mrs. Kent.
Yeah. He returns it to Clark, and he's like,
you decide what to do with this.
He's like, why are you giving this to me? All of a sudden, we're buddies. He goes, no, I came here to talk to you. With your abilities, you're amazing. There's a whole world out there. You know, basically saying, you know, get the show on the road. Leave Smallville and become Superman already, punk. How many seasons are there going to be of this show? To put on the tights and fly around and be Superman.
So he still hasn't figured out he can fly yet.
And what Green Arrow says is, he goes, when you're ready, you come to me, all right?
It's like, why would I go? Yeah, it's exactly his voice.
Okay.
No, this is his exact voice.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
No, I'm saying it. He's got to have his Green Arrow voice. You need a clip of his Green Arrow.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
No, we couldn't. I'm sorry. He doesn't want us to have that. But that's Smallville this week. It's a genius show, and I'm really upset that Bill wasn't here to talk about it. I wish that we could get Bill sometime. Steven, look out. Oh! All right, this next segment is dedicated to our listener, Marie, from the Philippines. And it's all about Veronica Mars. Now, guys, you guys don't really catch Veronica Mars, do you? I mean, you would if you could, am I right?
There's so many shows on.
Steven,
yeah,
you
I
need
miss...
to buy Season 1, Season 2 box sets, Veronica Mars. I'm telling you would love this show. Because we all know Veronica Mars and her dad, Keith Mars, are super sleuths. They're detectives. Essentially. But Veronica, she goes to college. She's a college girl, but she's just so good at this that people keep needing her to do stuff. And it turns out that guy who plays on the football team, do you guys remember that Brady Bunch where Greg's playbook almost got stolen? Yeah. The guy who played Spider-Man kept trying to steal it. Well, this guy's playbook is stolen, and he's not allowed to take it out of the locker room. You're not allowed to leave with it. But he did because he was behind. He needed to study it. The next day he looks, it's gone. Who do you get but Veronica to help you out?
That's who I get.
And it turns out his girlfriend used to date this pretentious art guy, and they went to this art guy's show, and then he realized the book was gone. So maybe this guy took it, and Veronica goes to question the guy. Let's check it out.
What do you think?
Feels kind of...
Let me guess. You're an art major.
Interested amateur. It just looks like you're having muse trouble. Yeah, like your muse isn't your muse anymore because she dumped you?
It's true.
For like a meathead?
I don't know what you think that's about, but I'm busy, so...
Yeah, me too. So let's cut the crap. Did you steal Kurt's playbook, Larry?
There's something I can use, a book full of football plays.
Maybe if it got your romantic rival kicked off the team.
I see, so we can spend more time with Trish? Great theory. You are clearly a genius.
If he's off the team, he loses his scholarship. He's gone, and Trish is alone and ready to cry on your bony-ass, paint-spattered shoulder.
Look, whoever you are, I'm not a criminal mastermind. I'm just a painter.
Yeah, well, so was Hitler.
Now, who do you guys think it turns out took the playbook? Just a guess.
I say Spider-Man.
Wrong.
Veronica's boyfriend.
Huh?
I don't know.
Zing!
It turns out to be his girlfriend took it. The reason being, he got a scholarship in football. He tore his ACL, so now he's riding his scholarship, but he can't play, right? The coach just wants to get rid of him, so he's thinking the coach might have done it, so he'll get kicked off the team. Really, his girlfriend did it because she wants him not to be on the team because they've treated him so poorly. And what ends up happening is he can't really forgive her for what she's done, and so he quits school and leaves, which, you know, that's really unfortunate. There's a whole subplot where Veronica, she's dealing with her boyfriend. She's dealing with, remember Weevil? She's dealing with Weevil. He's out of prison now, trying to get him a job. First, she gets him a job with her dad, doing detective work, which he's really good at.
See, I saw some of this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's kind of a hothead. So when he's taking pictures and trying to figure out who's abusing this little girl, when he figures it out, he goes and beats the crap out of the guy when he's just supposed to be taking pictures. So he loses his job there. What he ends up doing is becoming the Hearst College maintenance man, essentially. So there's a good wrap up there. But this is a great show. I wish I had Bill here with me because he loves this show too. Next week, I promise, we'll do a bigger Veronica Mars thing. But I got to say, I highly recommend the show. It's great. And there's always a running subplot. They still haven't figured out who this date rapist on campus. In fact, another girl gets raped this episode. Very uneasy stuff.
What's all this date
Who's the rapist? Will we ever find out? We will find out by the end of the season. And that's what's great, how the subplots go through the whole season, the story arc, and they always pay off. The first two seasons, the finales were awesome. Let's move on to another show that has always has running story arcs, always got all that stuff, and that's Lost. What do you say, guys? Let's check out what happened on this week's Lost.
I don't understand. Who do you need to speak to? Church.
Can't talk.
Mute. Sky.
Sky. Sand.
Island. Island. You need to speak to the island.
No, to the professor.
Hi, John. Come on. I want to show you something.
Boone's hair grew really
John,
long while he's
dead. Someone in this airport's in serious danger. Not them. They'll be fine. For a while.
That green arrow at
you?
That's Boone.
Like the stars, man.
Whoa. Is that an arrow?
Tracking arrow.
There's nothing you can do for them. Not yet. First, you have to clean up your own mess.
Clean up your own mess. First, you have to clean
it's
up your
green
own
arrow,
mess.
Green arrow,
clean up your own mess. You have to clean up your own mess.
Clean it up, John.
What do we got to do, Boone? Clean up
They've
our own
got
mess?
They've got him. You don't have much time.
What are you doing?
I'm going to save Mr. Echo's life. Echo's Cross. He was dragged this way.
Dragged?
By the polar bear.
Sawyer killed the polar bear.
He killed a polar bear.
I gotta say, the music was rocking in this episode. Love the music on this show. Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
I
polar bear! The old hairspray trick.
He's alive.
Turn him over. Turn him over.
Charlie, we gotta get out of here.
Okay. Let's get him up.
For FYI, the whole island vibrated. And Kate and Jack and Sawyer saw it too right before they had bags pulled over their heads.
Don't worry. Log's gonna go after them. He said so in his speech.
What? What speech?
I'm sorry. Just a bit shook up. I messed up. Now our people are captured and...
You can still protect them. You can still save them.
I'm gonna find our friends. I don't know how yet, but I will. We're gonna find them, all of them. And then we're gonna bring them home.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence.
Oh, I mean,
you were in danger.
No, the past couple episodes we've had kind of the more other stuff, the others and all that, but now we're back to the mystical island stuff with Locke. What's going on here? The visions and all this? There's something else going on other than the others, wouldn't you guys say?
Yes.
There's not just, they're not the mystery of the island. You guys getting this? They're not the mystery of the island. They're just some people who are doing crazy, mysterious stuff. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what the island is all about. There's still more to that there, I believe. I really liked how, let's face it, I was getting sick of the others. I'm glad to see other people other than them for a while, aren't you guys?
Right.
And yeah. It was almost like last season when they showed the tailies on the other side. When it finally got to Jack and Sawyer, and it's like, oh, these guys, I miss them. I miss these people. I miss Locke. And Locke doesn't seem to be a whiny bitch anymore. Yeah. That's what this episode did. It turned him into old Locke. And one thing I thought was, did you guys catch that the opening of the episode with Locke waking up, the eye, and he's laying in the grass, was like the opening, the very first episode of Locke,
yeah,
when Jack
that's what
wakes
I thought.
Up? And there's something rustling in the grass, but it's not the dog. It's Desmond running around naked, kind of bewildered, like just running around. That was good stuff.
That cracked me up, yeah. I was
his
laughing.
Clothes got sucked off. And apparently he's got some...
And it freaked out Hurley really
bad. Yeah, it's like, dude, you're naked.
It's like, I like he's turned, he can't look at it.
He wants to, it's like, can you go get me some clothes? Or and he's got this tie-dye shirt. Is, Desmond clairvoyant now? He kind of saw Locke's speech before it even happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when it did happen, he wasn't even around. He was on the beach throwing rocks.
Or was he like...
In the future?
In the future.
And came back?
Possibly.
Did he zip ahead and then go come back nude, maybe?
Yeah, the future sucked his clothes up.
Yeah, I really like Desmond. And didn't he look kind of like Jesus in this episode? Jesus in a tie-dye shirt. I really miss Desmond. And one thing I like is they're basically saying, John, you will save them. You will save them. And I hope that's true because I can't wait for some others to get their asses
kicked. Well, I like what Hurley did, too, when he said, you know, he goes, well, I had this key. He goes, hey, you had this key all this time and you didn't disable
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's like what people say online. Dude, why didn't you use the key in the first place? Oh, I didn't know what it would do. It was just when I got real desperate. It's like, oh, okay. And it's kind of the writers telling people, see, people you've been talking about all summer long online, we're telling you.
We're hosing you.
That was really cool. The one thing that I was kind of puzzled about is, okay, Echo was dragged into this cave. Have you seen the size of this dude? And I know the polar bear is really big, but I'm saying the guy's not missing a limb getting dragged that far, and he hasn't bled to death. That was... But when Locke was in the cave, did you guys notice there was like this Tonga truck, and there was like a Dharma skeleton, like a guy with this Dharma? One thing what I thought, I was like, I wonder if that's Clancy Brown's, like the polar bear found his dead meat body and dragged it back to the cave and ate on him.
The dead meat body?
I don't know. The dead body, but it's meat for the polar bear. Were you guys thinking that? Maybe it was that guy?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't think about that until you just now.
Or my theory that the others are cannibals. Let's go back to that. No, I have no idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. But did you guys check out the previews to next week? It looks like it's a... torture the hell out of Sawyer episode.
I know.
It kind of reminds me of, I think there's a whole Sawyer is Han Solo, Kate is Leia, and it's Empire Strikes Back torturing Han kind of thing. I'm going to tell you, if a moment happens on the show that I'm about to tell you, if it happens, I will not watch Lost anymore. And this is it.
If he Sawyer... so he gets frozen in carbonite?
No, I would watch it if that happens. No. If Sawyer's laying there and they're like, Jack, kill him. No, I don't want to. Kill him, Jack. Do it. Kill him. And he's like, no, I can't. And he doesn't want to kill him. And he's holding a knife or a gun or something. That would just be so predictable. Please don't let that happen. Because I kind of see it happening. Don't do that. Don't. We're going to force Jack to kill Sawyer in front of Kate. You know, don't do that. That's so predictable. Am I right?
Yeah. They were torturing her, asking her if she loved him or something.
Yeah. Sawyer. I don't. What's with these people? What do they care?
Creepy bastards.
They need to cut the crap on this show.
Yeah, me too. So let's cut the crap.
Yeah, exactly, Veronica. Okay, it was all leading up to this moment, and you guys know what I'm talking about. That's Battlestar Galactica. Now, we talked about last week being all set up for this week.
Correct.
When they escape New Caprica. It opens up. There's a really good scene, a couple of good scenes to open it up with Apollo doubting everything he's supposed to do. He really wants to be there for his dad.
He doesn't think his dad's going to make it back.
He's supposed to go find Earth with all the rest of humanity, but he doesn't want to do that. He really wants to help his dad out, and Duala kind of helps him gain his footing there. And also we have... Now, this scene really was incredible, and it was...
Best one so far, I think.
When it was Colonel Ty realizes he has to basically kill his wife, Ellen Ty. And
now, did you think that she knew that that was poison? That maybe she knew he was going to kill her, and it kind of seemed that way to me, that she knew what it was.
Like she made it easier for him? Like,
yeah.
I'd really need a drink.
Yeah.
It's possible. One thing I want to know, I know these people have been stuck on this planet for over a year. Everything is screwed. They've seen so many people die. They've been tortured and stuff. So when I enter into this frame of thought, like, couldn't he say, we'll deal with this after we're rescued and I'll deal with her, or we'll put her in the stockade? But you're not thinking of those. You're thinking of absolutes of, you got to get rid of her. She's a traitor. She's worked with the Cylons. And she tells him that, I did it all for you. I slept with the disgusting Dean Stockwell. I gave him a map to where they were going to meet, but I did it all because I didn't want you to get hurt. And he's like, I understand, and I love you. And then he gives her, man, that was a heart-wrenching scene.
I know, poor guy.
Emmy-worthy. I'm going to say that right there.
Emmy-worthy.
But not the only... If this show does not get an Emmy for special effects on television, are you kidding me?
I know. Has it been nominated for anything yet?
It has... It was nominated for two things last year. I think costume design and something else. But this show, this episode alone, okay, they commence the rescue attempt, right? They've got the launch keys to all the ships. Everyone's ready in position. All Rosalind says is, hey, could you protect this lady and her baby, please? That's all you got to do. And apparently they fail at that, but we'll get to that later. So Adama shows up, and it's so cool how they show all the raptors, and they're all in formation, and they're like, launch the decoys, and they all launch the decoys, and the Cylons who... One thing that I think is great, what this episode so far has told us, is that the Cylons have their heads up their asses. They really are not sure what they are supposed to be doing.
Right.
They're really, like...
You think they're falling apart, like...
They're the people with the firepower, and that's how they think they can wield stuff. And now that they've had these people under occupation, they realize it's really kind of, like, difficult to do this. We thought we could just hold guns on them and control them, but that's not working. Because now they're fighting back. And let's just cut to the coolest scene of the show, and that's when Galactica appears in the atmosphere of New Caprica and is just in a free fall and launching all the Vipers in the free fall. Tyrell and everybody are pinned down by the Centurions. They see Hot Dog and all them launching, and then all of a sudden, right when it's about to hit the ground, it jumps away in flames. Yep. How sweet was that?
That was like
a goosebumps moment. And I love seeing them launch the missiles, and they take out the tower and everything. That was so cool. A lot of cool moments in this show. I mean, just cut to the space scene where the Galactus getting screwed up. It's the end. And what do you guys... I mean, think about it. The ship's going down. They're all going to die, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
What does Adama say? He doesn't say, oh, let's abandon ship. You people get out of here. He doesn't freak out or anything. He just stands there and he goes, it's been an honor to serve with you. He's going down with the ship. Man, that's the kind of guy he is. He did his part. Hopefully everyone's getting off the planet. And they're
waiting for that Lauren Green moment. Yeah.
And Lauren Green doesn't hold a candle to this Adama. But I love that as the base stars are closing in. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever you see a base star go up, I'm like, yes, those bastards. Kill them all. And then all of a sudden you see the Pegasus show up, and it's launching missiles at the base star. It's awesome. And that gives a chance for everyone to escape. Anders finally finds Starbuck, who's unconscious on the ground because Leo Ben punched her. Of course, he drags her away, and when she gains consciousness, she's like, wait, Casey, we got to go back. And he's like, huh, what the hell are you talking about? She's like, my daughter. Did you guys feel the same way I did? After all this stuff is going on, and then they cut, and she's still in that apartment, are you like, are you kidding me? She's not out of there yet. Cut to Colonial One, and they're still kind of debating what to do, and Gata decides, hey, I'm going to off Baltar here. I'm going to go ahead and shoot him. Him and Caprica, that's what they're calling that six model now. Her name is Caprica. She's pleading with them that Deanna Beers, Xena, is going to go set off a nuke and just blow up the planet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you can tell he's not a killer. He's not that kind of guy. He's not going to do it. And Baltar realizes this is the first time where you see he's not afraid to die. Go ahead. He'd probably prefer to die than go live with the Cylons on their ship. Who knows what kind of beds they have there, you know? Probably sleep in pools of goo or something. But really what Deanna's off to do, she's off to find the baby that she's been dreaming about. Baltar who finds the baby first, and the poor lady's been gunned down. Apparently they did a bad job of protecting her. Everyone else seems to have escaped, by the way, by now, except for Rosalind. They wait till they get off of Colonial One, and then they jump on. And I love the scene where she sits at her desk like, okay, I'm ready to leave now.
President again.
And cut to space, and the Pegasus is getting bombarded by all these ships, and I love it. They're, like, all abandoning. They're getting off the ship. Because Galactica, they've gotten their FTL working now. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to get their FTL working and then get out of there. You can see all the ships emergency landing. Everyone's getting the hell out of there. And I love they showed the ships on the ground. All they had to do is lift a few feet off the ground, and then they could FTL away faster than light jumps. And but didn't you guys love how Pegasus went out? It rammed one base star. Then one of the wings yes. comes off and hits another base star, takes that out. It went out in a good way.
The Pegasus. Most...
Cut to the surface, and Starbuck's still in the freaking apartment looking for Casey. And I have a scene here. Let's check it out. This is her trying to leave with Casey. Let's see what happens.
Give her to Casey.
Say the words.
Let me take her.
Say them.
What words?
You know what I want. I want to hear you say them, and I want the rest of it, just like I told you.
Fine. You win. I love you.
Say it again.
I love you.
Now the rest.
And so then she says she loves him, kisses him for a bit, and then stabs him in the gut.
Good for her.
Then finally, freaking Anders shows up. It's like, dude, you were down the hall. What took you so long? And he's like, who's this? She goes, I'll explain to you later. And they arrive on the Galactica. Everything's happy. Now Baltar's with the Cylons. He's going to fly away with them. Well, I wouldn't say everyone's happy. It looks like Colonel Ty will probably be screwed in the head for the rest of his life, doesn't it? He's really messed up. Yeah. Everyone's cheering. And you can almost see, I love the scene where Adama and him come face to face. They haven't seen each other in so long. And they're just both completely different people.
All right.
And everyone's chanting, Adama, Adama. And here's the total mind screw of it all. Starbuck's there with her daughter. And I'm sorry, I did call this. The lady goes, Casey? My daughter, thank you. You saved her. The Silence took her away. I didn't think I'd ever see her again. Okay, thanks, bye. And she's like, what the hell? That's my clone daughter, lady. They took my ovaries. That's my daughter. But you can see she's just totally mind screwed by that. She's just kind of standing there blank. And even Anders doesn't know what to say to her, so he walks away. It's like, hey, lunkhead, do you not see your wife's going through something here? But he's too happy. Well, let's face it, they pulled off quite a coup there. People didn't make it, but a lot of people did. even people like Jammer.
Traitor.
Yeah.
It looks like next episode is going to be pretty heavy. That's what I love about the show. Oh, next week's going to be happy. They're all back. No. Not on this show.
Somehow somebody's going to know that he was a cop. Or yeah. Find something that proves that he was one of the...
Mm-hmm. See, that's something that happens a lot, too. Like the Nazi occupation. Hey, let's go find those people who helped the Nazis while they were in power. And let's go kill them. That's exactly what happens, right?
Right.
People mm-hmm. who help the enemy. And that's what they're going to do. It looks like they're rounding up people. Can't wait to see what happens. The one thing that's sad about Gaeta is he was on Colonial One with the Cylons the whole time. But he was helping the humans the entire time.
The secret contact.
He was the secret Santa, is what I like to call him. he was flipping the dog bowl for him.
Yeah. But, you know that will come up, though. It has to.
How good was this episode?
Excellent. It was the best one.
It was excellent. Hopefully Apollo will hit the Stairmaster.
They'll pull all the latex off of him.
I wanted the scene where Starbuck goes, "Hey, holy crap, Apollo!
Did you eat Apollo?"
He's like, "Huh? Well, what are you talking about?"
He ate the base stars.
Yeah.
Enough with the space hamburgers. Cut it out, dude.
Space burgers, good. And of course, they have one little scene to tag off everything, and that is Roslyn finding out that Hera is now in the Cylons' hands. Either that, or she's dead. But I think she pretty much knows the Cylons have her.
Right.
But here's what I want to know. What's the big deal? I mean, this kid isn't going to have powers or anything, is it? It's going to be able to hack a computer really easily. But excellent episode. Can't wait to see what happens next week. BSG, love it. And if we missed anything, sorry. It was a big episode.
It was a lot happening.
I talked about my favorite moment. That's the free-falling Galactica. That was like the coolest maneuver ever. And I'd follow Adama into battle anytime, baby. But that's BSG this week. We'll check you out next week. Let's do the news.
I'm smart, and I come from a privileged background.
Whoa, Vanessa, a little full of yourself there.
Neither of those are true. All right. A 59-year-old German man who has spent the last 34 years in jail has turned down offers to be let out. He rejected an offer to leave in 1992, and they can't do anything if someone sentenced to life in prison doesn't want to leave. The man, identified only as Gerald H., was convicted of murder and sentenced to life imprisonment in 1972 when the area was part of communist East Germany. German prisoners have no obligation to agree to leave jail before their sentences have been completed. So I guess this guy is too scared to leave.
He's been...
He's a big man in jail.
Institutionalized.
He's like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank. He didn't want to leave. He was a career...
Prisoner.
Inmate.
Captive, yeah. Prisoner, and you're afraid of the outside world. So, hey, well, I feel for the guy.
1972. Imagine. You know, it's like getting stuck in time, and all of a sudden you come out, it's 2006. How different the world would be.
Yippee.
All right. A Detroit man with a history of smashing store windows to grab female mannequins has been accused of indulging in his fetish again. Ronald A. Dodson... 39, was arrested and jailed October 9th after breaking a window at a cleaning supply company to get a mannequin of a woman in a black and white French maid's uniform.
Nice.
A judge Thursday ordered him to undergo a psychiatric examination to determine whether he is competent to stand trial.
The world's biggest scumbag.
On charges of attempted breaking and entering. The guy obviously isn't. Right in the head.
Now, why? What is he doing? Is he just, you know,
is he having sex with them? Or
Mr. Dodson went to prison, and they really haven't helped him. He got out of prison, and he was right back out there. It's pretty bizarre. Dodson has been out of prison for less than a week when he was caught. His erotic pursuit of mannequins over the past 13 years has led to at least 6 convictions for breaking and entering, and a stint in prison. He told his parole officer he was going to buy a mannequin so he wouldn't have to do these break-ins.
Hey, what an idea!
Apparently that didn't work out.
He couldn't. He couldn't get a job long enough to save up for a
mannequin. Like, hey, dude, if you have a fetish, no one says you don't can just pay for your fetish. You don't have to go steal it.
I know.
It's like poor Mike Cooper masturbating in a library. Dude, just get your own computer, then masturbate at home. Have you ever thought of that?
But I guess it's just maybe the thrill of breaking in. Who knows? But
yeah, obviously that's exactly what it is. I mean,
it's a couple of quarters short of a dollar.
You know, I kid about Mike Cooper because really what it's about is probably pleasuring yourself in public and someone might catch you.
Pleasuring himself.
Exactly, Carl. Thank you for that.
Yeah, what is that called? It's not... Oh, exhibitionist.
Sports, pornography, stuff like that.
Well, it's not even exhibition. It's the thrill of maybe being caught.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you ever perform a sexual act at the library?
In a public area for everybody could see
him. He definitely
needs
psychiatric help.
Well, I remember when I was stationed in California, they had something on the news about this couple that liked to go into different fast food restaurants and go into, like, the male or the female bathroom and have sex on the sink where people could just walk right in and see them. And they finally got caught when a young girl, like she was about 10, and she walks in and sees this couple.
Damn you, my baby, Bill.
And goes and tells her parents, and they said, well, we never thought about kids walking in. We were just doing it for the thrill of someone walking in, but didn't think of about a kid. Like, what the hell are you thinking?
You're at McDonald's.
It's like, have you thought about like the cleanliness of bathrooms?
I know. And of course, this couple looked like they just jumped off of a trailer park, you know?
And they had a kind of a love-hate relationship. They interviewed the lady afterwards.
I do love them dearly. I hate them, though.
Wow. She needs help.
Mm-hmm. An elderly couple in Chino, California, believe a chunk of blue ice from the holding tank of an aircraft toilet ripped a hole in their roof and destroyed their bed. William McElroy was watching a movie with his wife Evelyn when the ice crashed into the house Wednesday night. It was a huge crash. It shook the whole building, but we thought it was a car, McElroy said. The couple went outside to investigate but found nothing, so they returned to finish watching the movie. They didn't discover the chunk of ice on the bed and the 2-foot-wide hole in the ceiling until the next morning.
Ew, when it thawed out and there was a turd on their bed.
I think we had somebody extra looking over us, he said. The FAA spokesman, Ian Greger, said Thursday, if the offending chunk of ice is from an airplane, then it is likely the cause of a leak in a holding tank on the aircraft's bathroom.
That's a great thing.
Blue ice occurs when waste leaks from a plane's bathroom onto the outside of the plane and freezes at high altitudes.
Blue ice. You know what that's worth on the black market?
The liquid begins to thaw as the plane descends and sometimes
Vanessa
begins to fall off. So, yeah, they got a nice little present.
Hope it wasn't on one of the planes I was in.
Steven, you flushed a little too hard. It's like, won't go down. Keep pressing the button.
In London, a major new exhibition at London's Science Museum on Friday pondered the history of video games. Is the world's fastest growing entertainment industry a blessing or a curse? And while adults weighed up the pros and cons of the console revolution, kids were let loose on 120 games for anywhere from Pac-Man to PlayStation games. The thought-provoking exhibition offers no easy answers on the gaming industry, whose estimated annual $25 billion turnover exceeds Hollywood revenues and now even boasts its own World Cyber Games. But the arguments are cogently laid out in a string of information panels interlaced with the gaming consoles. It cited a New York study which showed that nimble-fingered surgeons who played video games were 30% more accurate and faster than their non-gaming colleagues. Video games are even now used in training for Air Force pilots.
Yeah, they need operation for the PlayStation now.
Nice.
California researchers...
Does that mean I could trade out? Like, I could fly a jet pretty easily?
Probably.
After playing video games?
Californian researchers have developed a game for kids with cancer that has a nanorobotic heroine called Roxy who seeks out and destroys malignant cells.
Whoa.
But on the other side of the coin, British kids, for example, now spend an estimated 2 months of the year staring at a screen in a country where child obesity and lack of exercise is a major health concern.
Oh my God.
And Amsterdam has a clinic for video game addicts, an 8-week gaming detox which offers group therapy and counseling.
Vanessa, you need that.
Yeah. Are we creating a nation?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Can't play video Hudson. Games anymore.
What are the psychological effects? Do the games make us more violent? It's all up for debate. Of course, there are geeks out there, but technology is allowing more people to access the games. My favorite at the moment is a surgery game where you can wield a knife, one of the gamers said. But gone are the days when games were the passion of moody teenagers in a darkened bedroom. The average age of today's game player is 33, and the industry is working on brain teaser games to appeal to these gray
Vanessa,
players.
How old are you now?
I'm 33.
I vote yes.
So detox.
Well, the whole thing that bugs me about studies where they talk about the downside of games on kids, you know what? Let's pretend like, yeah, they cause kids violence. It's the parents' responsibility. Don't give them the damn game then. Why is it always like somebody else's fault?
Exactly, Vanessa. Thank you. Now climb down off your soapbox, all
right? It just drives me nuts when there's no accountability anymore. And finally, an undergraduate program at Canada's August University of Toronto offers discussions on flogging, restraint, and role play, as well as an arts course called Queerly Canadian. But teenagers and students insist it's a serious academic program that isn't simply about just sex. It's not sexy sex, where we're talking about whips and chains, but we will talk about whips and chains, said one of the students.
It's a conspiracy.
We'll talk about whips and chains in a political, social, cultural, religious context of sexuality and how that sexuality affects those institutions. Yeah, right. It's a very serious analytical exercise, and it isn't what most people think it is. The program established 8 years ago got which Canadian million-dollar boost this week with a donation from the Canadian winemaker Mark Bonham to expand the curriculum. There are plans for Canada's first undergraduate major in sexual diversity studies and for a master's and doctorate programs starting in 2008. This is a long-neglected area, and Canada provides an ideal environment to take up these questions creatively.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Yes, it is, Jonathan.
The program includes a drama course, this is gets me, called Sexual Performance, Case Studies in Sadomasochism.
Huh?
It's a drama course. And,
ten people
of course,
you'll
the Queerly
in
Canadian.
Hell.
For which one student wrote an in-depth review of a male strip show. I got an A on that, too. But it also focuses, But it also focuses on traditional academic discussions like Plato to same-sex marriage, with courses like theories of sexuality and sexual diversity and politics. So I guess they're 50. It says that it's talking about that 50% of the students are not gay, but any use of that term is welcomed, or they're talking about how they want people to be open.
Rubbish.
No pun intended. They want them to be open in this class, talk about anything, and I don't understand. What would you honestly do with a degree in this study? I mean, honestly, what would you do with it?
Teach. That's the only thing you could do with it. Teach at the university level, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you got a doctorate in it, you could maybe be a marriage counselor, a sex counselor, whatever. That I could see, but what would you do with, like, a bachelor's?
I'd minor in it.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're talking about ever since the inception of this program that, of course, their attendance records have increased by over 50%.
Well,
go
figure. It's gotten kids back to school.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually teaching a class, or actually it's more of a club. I'm forming the Lollipop Guild.
Awesome.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, I just
heard deep voice in your class.
This is so nauseating.
Oh, I just wanted to mention one thing. There was a story about a guy who was accused of having sex with the family dog and has been charged under the state's new animal cruelty law, which makes bestiality now a felony. He pleaded, of course, not guilty, but I'm trying to see. His wife told investigators that she found her husband on the back porch Wednesday night having intercourse with her 4-year-old female pit bull terrier. The dog was squealing and crying. And the woman went inside the house, grabbed her cell phone, and took pictures with it. So she could show the cops, I guess. I don't know, but...
what the F? Her first idea was to take pictures, not to go,
yes!
Not to say, what the hell are you doing?
That's what I thought was weird. She sees her husband humping the dog, and she goes in the house, grabs her cell phone, comes out.
Billy.
What was the dog's name?
But yeah, it's just kind of like just the thought of her going in, then she has to stop, get the camera option ready on her phone, stand, get him ready in the picture, and snap a picture. Wouldn't you be like, what the hell are you doing?
I People think I'd probably throw up.
Me. Yeah, that too.
Don't you laugh at me, Mulberry Bell.
The thing that got her attention was she was in the house, she went in the kitchen, and she could hear the dog going, over and over again. Yeah. And she walks out and sees her husband humping the dog.
A 26-year-old
man. No, that's the thing is, well, even if you are drunk, you still shouldn't hump
a dog. The world's biggest scumbag.
You said it, John Cena.
John Triton.
Yes. John Triton. We're going to keep your name John just so you'll answer the other actors when they say your name.
Okay.
Good idea.
Is he Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news this week. I appreciate it. Steven, don't you appreciate what you
said? Awesome job.
Incredible. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I'm pretty and I'm smart. I come from a privileged background.
Vanessa, come on, really. Don't take it down with the modesty. And don't worry, we're all safe. You guys know why?
Because you're going to be with Ice-T.
That's right, baby.
I won't get raped or killed or shot or...
Now, guys, we don't have Bill to do the DVDs, but maybe Vanessa can do a quick run-through of what DVDs are coming out this week. What do you say, Vanessa?
Okay.
Let's do the DVDs.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs! DVDs! DVDs!
Woohoo! Yeah, baby!
The first one that I see on the list is a movie that I guess it's done pretty well. It's called Monster House. It's animated. It's weird because when I look at the reviews, I've seen A's, a lot of A's, a couple of D's, and just a scattered, but it looks like
animation looked really wicked cool to me.
Yeah.
Catherine.
But it stars Steve Buscemi's voice, Nick Cannon, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She's in everything.
John
Heater. If she's not in it, Scarlett Johansson's in it.
And Peter Sarsgaard's always in everything now, too.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Yeah, this is getting released on Tuesday. Originally came out in the theater on July 21st. Also,
the one thing is I heard that it's kind of scary. I don't think my daughter can probably watch it yet. There's some scary moments that happen in it.
She probably needs to be another 2 years older before she can
watch
it.
Yeah, I saw Ebert and Roper, and they said it's really good, but, you know, it might be a little scary. There's some scary jumps and shocks in it. Man, I'll wait a while.
You need a 5-year-old or so, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? I was always a wimp, got scared about anything. So probably 10-year-old me, I'd be hiding under the covers.
Well, it's a movie for all ages, so... If you want your kids, it's okay. Now, the next one is Slither. It's the science fiction, fantasy, kind of suspense horror. It stars Michael Rooker, Elizabeth Banks, and a bunch of people you've never heard of. That was great.
So you know, here's the girl from The Office plays Pam.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Her husband, she's in Slither, but her husband directed the movie. Interesting bit of trivia there for you guys. It's also got Nathan Fillion. We also know who he is, right?
I hadn't gotten there yet.
Shame on you.
They have listed for the starring cast is Michael Rooker, Elizabeth Banks, Greg Henry, Nathan Fillion.
That's him. All know what a huge fan of The Rook I am. Michael Rooker. The Rook. And Nathan Fillion, who is in Serenity, Firefly.
Yep, he's the...
Who created that series?
Josh.
Oh, thank you, Eugene. That's who it is.
Josh. Well, it's rated R. It has horror and violence and gore, so it's, if you care, it's not for kids. But
you know, it looked really kind of disgusting to me on the previews.
I'll watch it.
It looked really yucky.
Well, so, it talks about that it's Vanessa. The plot, basic plot, is the sleepy town of Wheelsy could be any small town in America, somewhat quaint and gentle.
Like Mulberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, peopled with friendly folks who mind their own business, but just beneath the surface charm, something unnamed and evil has arrived and is growing. No one seems to notice as telephone poles become clogged with missing pet flyers, or one of the town's richest citizens begins to act strangely. Woo! But yeah, it was released originally at the end of March, and that's coming out on Tuesday. All right, and next we have Nacho Libre. Which is, of course, stars Jack Black, Hector Jimenez, Troy Gentile, Moises Arias, and Laura Chartrand. Directed by Jared Hess, who you know did Napoleon Dynamite.
Dynamite, baby. We all love Napoleon, don't we?
Of course.
Yep. And the thing is, with the reviews I've seen on this, which I've only seen one A, the rest have been C's and B's, so I guess it's definitely one of those you should rent and not be upset
to
pay money for it in the theater.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I really loved Napoleon Dynamite. I'm telling you that I probably watch it like 20 times. I mean, love it. I still love it. I just haven't watched it in a while. Will I like this movie, do you think? A lot of people said it wasn't really that funny. They didn't think it was funny. And there were, some people said nothing really happens. It's just one stupid thing after another. So I don't know. I'm going to check it out. But I don't know if I'll love it, you know, until I see it, of course.
You think
but
it's a renter.
Yeah, but there's something about Napoleon Dynamite. You don't know who the actor is or anything, and you're just going into it like, what a quirky little movie. But this time, it's Jack Black.
Oh, you used the Q word to describe that movie.
What did I say?
Quirky.
Oh no! Damn it! No, Steve, put the bow down, Steven. I'm sorry.
Good acting.
Never use the quirky word again.
How about I think quiver, like an arrow?
This seems to happen a lot with when the first-time director comes along and has a big success, kind of like Jared Hess. Their second movie, they try too hard to be funny.
Yeah, they call it the sophomore slump. Or,
yeah.
It happens with bands, it happens with directors, so you never know.
I've heard people say they really like this movie, and then I've heard people say they really hated it. So it's kind of one or the other. So well, I'll either love it or hate it.
I heard Richard Roper say it was the worst movie of the year.
Well, if you went into it with the idea of it being another Napoleon Dynamite, you're probably going to hate it.
Yeah. No, I'll clear my head of that, you know.
Well, it is PG for rough action, crude humor, including some of the dialogue.
There's some rough action in there. You might want to be, okay, I'll keep that in mind before I go.
Man doing his dog. The next one we have is the movie An American Haunting, which I've heard horrible things about. I've seen Fs. But like someone even wrote on here, unless this movie cures cancer, it is pretty much worthless. So, I've heard. And someone, the Boston Globe wrote it. A cringingly awful period ghost story. That's the best review on here. So, that ought to tell you something.
And one thing you may not know, it was directed by the guy who did the smash hit movie, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, yes.
You guys get ready. It has award-winning actress Thora Birch. I'm not sure if that's true. I just threw that out there. It has award-winning actor Jeremy Irons. Are you with me? Has one of the Wayans brothers in it, okay? He directed Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
How genius is that movie? That movie was the biggest piece of crap. Oh, my God. Yeah, Steven and I.
The biggest floating turd we've ever seen.
There's the kind of movie where you can sit and watch and make fun of and laugh at. Steven and I sat silent watching that, and afterwards I was suicidal, and Steven had to talk me off the roof. I was like, no.
It stars Rachel Hurdwood, James Darcy, Sissy Spacek, Donald Sutherland, and Matthew Marsh II. Like you said, it was directed by Courtney Solomon, and it's based. It's based on true events that took place in Tennessee during the 1800s, where an unrelenting demon haunts and torments teenage girl and her wealthy family.
I love that the based on a true event thing. That's scary.
Just like the Amityville Horror. Wait, no, that was a lie.
Yes. Would you guys say that ups the cinematic ante a bit, being based on a true story?
Hmm. Why do they always have to put based on... That doesn't bring people in. I don't get it.
Not being used to my ability.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Steven, you want to go see American Haunting? Nah, not so much. Hey, it's based on a true story.
Let's go see PCZ Steven, the movie. It's based on a true lie. Nah, he's boring.
Yeah, me too. So let's cut the crap.
This ought to tell you something. It only brought in $16 million. So, and
hey,
PG-13.
I wish I had $16 million. That's a pretty good amount of change for me. You know what I'm saying?
It is PG-13 for intense terror sequences and thematic material. So, in case you want to watch this big pile of crap. Just funny how someone even wrote on here, a user, it's the worst movie of the year by far. Don't see it. Don't buy it. Don't rent this movie. Don't go near it. If you can absolutely avoid it, stay away.
Wow, that's a thumbs down, I think.
I don't think it even rated a 1 on a 1 to 10.
Steven, look out! That damn Green Arrow getting back at us for making fun of his acting.
What's that cough?
What's the cough? I want to hear you.
It's making me spit up blood.
How about this?
Ow!
I got you right in the ass, Steven. What other movies are coming out on DVD, Vanessa?
Well, here is the biggest title of all. Everybody might want to hurry up and line up at Blockbuster or Take It Home Video. Oh, they don't have to.
I'm ready. Rubbing my hands together.
All right, here you go. For your birthday, Jason. Rick Springfield, live in Rockford, is being released Tuesday. That's right, Rick Springfield.
Oh! Oh, I hate that Rick Springfield.
The world's biggest scumbag.
Yes.
Also, we have the OC, the complete third season.
Yes!
The, you know, 10-year-olds who watch the show.
Or the Orange County. With one of the greatest actresses ever, Misha Barton.
Yes.
This is the big one that you actually probably might want for your birthday. This is on Tuesday, Reservoir Dogs, the 15th anniversary edition, the gasoline can packaging.
Whoa.
Is going to be
great movie. And you know what? The original...
I have the Mr. Pink edition.
Yeah, I have that too, but a lot of people were pissed. It's like, it's just the movie. There's not a lot of cool stuff. What does this have on it? What kind of extras does it have? That's all I want to know.
It's very vague on what it has, but
well,
I guess it has...
We couldn't have that now, could we?
Deleted scenes, director commentary, cast commentary.
It has the cast commentary?
That's what it just shows, C commentary, like the letter C commentary.
That's it right there. I mean, all I want is any kind of commentary, and I'm checking that out. You know what I'm saying?
I told you, you only use violence if necessary in this movie.
Yes. And Steven, I want you to buy that for me, okay?
You forgot to say please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here's another big one. Wings! Wings, the complete third season.
Yes!
Four-disc set.
Thomas Hayden Church, yes!
It will be $39.98 on average on Tuesday. The special edition of Saw 2 will be out on Tuesday.
Awesome!
Saw, and I haven't watched it yet.
When will they complete the Saw trilogy? Don't you hate when they do that now? Like, what is this, the new Santa Claus movie? It's like, finally, the trilogy's complete. What? That's not a trilogy? Just because you make three crappy movies in a row, it's like, it's a trilogy now. It's a, a Tool Man trilogy box set. It's like, what? No. You're going a little too far there. And now, watch, they're going to have a Saw trilogy box set, and it's actually going to be like a saw that you open up, and it's like, it looks like a Black & Decker power drill or something, but instead it's a DVDs inside. Actually, that would be pretty cool now that I think about it.
And for people who have young children... I've never heard of this, but I'm sure for preschoolers, Go Diego Go, Diego Saves Christmas.
My daughter loves Diego.
And okay, well, that's coming out Tuesday.
She loves Diego. She loves his sister Alicia, and also Baby Jaguar, and also watch out for those Bobo brothers, those crazy monkeys. Can you guys tell I've seen Go Diego Go?
Once or twice.
It will be in Dolby Digital Stereo.
Sweet.
And also a big one.
Ow!
Avenge my death.
It's a double arrow.
MacGyver, the complete final season, 4-disc set.
We'll yes!
Be out on Tuesday.
You know what I love best about MacGyver?
It's a strong smell.
No, not the strong smell. I love his hockey hair.
I know that. I know.
That's what I love best about it.
Have you ever heard of this show? I haven't. Slings and Arrows, Season 2. Does that sound familiar to you?
Slings and Arrows.
It used to be MacGyver, McGadget, McGimmick. Now you're Mr. McUseless.
No, I haven't heard of that. What is it?
Let's see. Who's
Wait,
in
what
it?
Is it against Slings and what?
Slings and Arrows. It has Paul Gross.
This is what you said.
Damn, I walked right into that one. It has Colm Feore, Don McKellen, and Mark McKinney.
Colm Feore? Who's that?
Mark McKinney, one of the...
Colm Feore, he was in Paycheck. He was in...
isn't it just Fiore?
I've always called it Fiore.
What's that movie called again?
That's... No, I'm not walking into it yet.
An arrow.
And here's another big one for all of you Saturday Night Live fans. Saturday Night Live, the best of Saturday TV Funhouse is coming
out. Yes, that's actually one of the funniest things on that show.
That's the
ever.
Only funny thing. Right. It's going to be 84 minutes. One disc, and it's Dolby Digital Stereo. That also be coming out. Oh, and Degrassi Season 4 will be coming out. Another one for all of you who are into classic movies, The Gay Divorcee will be coming out on DVD. They're trying to release a lot of the older movies now, so that's one of the first ones.
He's really flaming!
And this other, I don't know if you ever watched this show. I thought it was absolutely god-awful, but apparently they're releasing it on DVD. That show, That's My Bush. Remember about George Bush?
Oh, yeah. You know what happened to that show, don't you? 9/11. 9/11 killed that show. Because it was the Matt and Trey Parker did the show, That's My Bush, making fun of... They basically made a sitcom out of George Bush and Barbara. Yeah. They even had the Larry-type guy from Three Stooges who would show up unannounced. They had the studio audience.
I forgot all about that
9/11
show.
Happened. It totally just wiped that show off the map. They couldn't do it anymore.
Well, here's a big one. They're now releasing a widescreen version of Porky's. It is going to be...
Who is wanting that?
Who isn't?
It's going to be soft matted widescreen edition, 16:9, and it's going to be in DDS 2.0 and DD1 sound.
With a Pee-wee commentary.
That's right. It'll be in English, French, and Spanish.
Pee-wee and meat dish the dirt on the making of it.
You know, I almost want to watch it just to hear it in Spanish, to hear how it sounds.
If it's not in anamorphic, I don't want it.
And finally, for all you hockey fans, there is going to be the NHL Greatest Moments, and it keeps up with a fast-paced professional sports.
Is it like hard hits, like checks into the board, fights, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's
slings and
arrows.
Oh! Don't say arrow every time I get shot.
It goes from skillful shots to exciting plays, and it offers adrenaline-infused look at the game that has spawned athletes like Steve Yzerman, Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, and
Gordie Howe. We couldn't have that now, could we?
That's all the interesting ones.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the DVDs. I hope Bill's not angry. You're stealing his spot on the show.
Trust me, he does it much better than me, so I'm sure he'll be fine.
You're going to be with Ice-T.
All right, everybody. That's episode 57 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this week on the show. I hope you enjoyed all the things we talked about, especially that Flavor of Love clip. I know that I love that very much. I loved it as much as I can love something.
I do love them dearly.
I hate them, though.
Yeah, I effing hate it also. Now, if you guys would like to call in and leave a voicemail on the show, we'll play it on the show, and we'll listen to it, and we'll enjoy it. Now, if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491, and you might win a free hat. Right, Steven? Steven's designed a new hat. It's called the PCZ Steven Hat. It's made of suede, and it's got, what would you call those jewels around the crown?
Dingle balls.
No, what I call them is bling.
Now, also, if you'd like to send us an email, much like Marie did, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. But don't stop there, Stephen. Just don't stop there. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you will find links to not only our old shows on Mulberry Old School, you'll also find links to our forum, where you could talk about stuff, or you could join us on Friday Night Chats, a link to our chat room, Friday Night Chats, 11 p.m. Central. Come and talk with the family. Come and talk with us. We got a nice group of people that are always on there. We talk about the latest movies we've seen, our favorite shows.
I completely forgot last night.
And I keep ruining it for everybody because they've already seen Battlestar Galactica and they're ready to chat about it. I'm all like, no spoilers. I haven't seen it yet. I ruin it for everybody. I'm sorry. So I have to.
I stayed on.
So basically, I get thrown out and then they talk about it. Before we go, I'd like to thank Stephen and Vanessa for joining us this week. And,
anytime.
Let's all get that gift basket ready to take the bill after the show's over. What do you guys say? I got the chicken noodle soup.
He's in a bubble.
What do you got, Steven? I see you made a macaroni necklace for Bill.
Aww. And an orange.
Oh, well, that's really nice. An orange?
Yeah, that's the centerpiece.
He used a ballpoint pen to draw a clock on it, kind of like Flavor Flav. I see what you did there.
Magic marker.
Now, Vanessa, what do you have there? A can of Spam. How is that going to make Bill feel better?
Well, actually, if you shake it, it's like a maraca. I put beans in it.
Oh, so it's like a musical instrument. That's really cool.
Yeah, so he could entertain himself.
You know what I learned once on Super Friends is you take two paper plates, you put some beans in it, then you use some Elmer's glue around the edge, then you glue it together, then draw like a happy face, and it's like a tambourine. Wonder Woman taught me that. It's really cool. In fact, I'm going to do that for Bill before we go over there. I'm going to make him a Wonder Woman tambourine.
We draw the golden lasso around it.
Yeah.
I awesome. Want to make him one of those sand art, you know, where you pour a bunch of different colored sand in it.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell was Super Friends doing? Shouldn't he be fighting crime coming up with these crafts? What the hell?
He distracts them.
Yes. On that note, guys, thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Scumbag.
Now this is podcasting.